Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eve, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal, coming to you today with something that's brand new. A number of people in a variety of contexts have suggested they would enjoy audio versions of the papers that we published, and wanting nothing more than to give you good value, we decided to give it a try. This podcast is one of a few produced by asking intrepid authors to read their article verbatim for your listening pleasure. We'll judge the value of this pilot by download rate, podcast ratings, and any tweets you care to send promoting the initiative. If you'd like to give feedback, please email me at kevin.eva@ubc.ca. And if you like this initiative, we'll continue doing it as long as we can find authors who are willing to engage.
Chances for learning intra-professional collaboration between residents in hospitals. Natasha Lohman, Cornelia Fluit, Marielle van Wijngaarden, Esther de Groot, Patrick Dielissen, Dieneke van Asselt, Jacqueline de Graaf, Nienke Scherbier de Haan. Introduction. Adverse events resulting from human error are reported frequently in healthcare. A common contributing factor to these events is an ineffective collaboration between primary care doctors and medical specialists. Frequently reported issues are deficient communication and information transfer. These problems could increase in many healthcare systems because of the current tendency to translocate part of healthcare service provision from hospital to primary care settings. This involves transitions of both patients and knowledge, leading to an increased risk of error. Therefore, in addition to being proficient in their own professional work, primary care doctors in the primary care setting and medical specialists in the hospital should be aware of each other's context, expertise, and roles, and how to communicate and collaborate interprofessionally. In order for doctors to be well equipped for their task of providing continuity of care between primary care and the hospital setting, intra-professional collaboration needs to receive special attention during postgraduate training. This can be realized by intra-professional education. However, the distance, both physical and conceptual, between primary care and medical specialist workplace and teaching environments seems to be a deeply rooted obstacle to this strategy. During postgraduate training, primary care residents and medical specialist residents do collaborate around referral to and discharge from the hospital. Their training programs, however, take place in isolation from each other and focus on their own specialties. In the Netherlands, learning during primary care and medical specialist postgraduate training is predominantly workplace-based. Both curricula and clinical commitments limit the time primary care and medical specialist residents can work together. As a result, the opportunity to build on and learn from and about the strengths of each other is limited. Because the proximity of different professions in shared educational and clinical spaces and sufficient time allocation can help to build mutual rapport, it is precisely the proximity that requires specific attention when organizing intra-professional education. We explored whether and how intra-professional education could be organized during hospital placements. In many countries, primary care residents, such as general practitioner residents and elderly care physician residents, undertake a hospital placement during their postgraduate training. This hospital ward, where primary care and medical specialist residents work in proximity, offers the opportunity to learn intra-professional collaboration through intra-professional education. Currently, formalized intra-professional education is limited. Therefore, if learning of intra-professional collaboration occurs, it will be predominantly unintentional. To the best of our knowledge, there has not been investigation of whether and how primary care residents and medical specialist residents learn intra-professional collaboration during these placements. This study aims to gain insight into the potential of hospital placements for learning intra-professional collaboration by answering the following questions. 1. When and how do primary care residents and medical specialist residents learn intra-professional collaboration during hospital placements? And 2. What are opportunities for and barriers to learning intra-professional collaboration during these placements? Methods. We carried out a constructivist ethnographic study. A constructivist approach acknowledges that researchers' background assumptions, disciplinary perspectives, and programmatic efforts along a line of study shape their research process and conceptual emphasis. Therefore, in our study, particular time and attention were paid to reflexivity throughout the research process, on how our assumptions and perspectives have shaped our data collection and interpretation. The research group consisted of general practitioners, educational scientists, a psychologist, an internist, a geriatrician, and a medical student. All group members were experienced in providing intra-professional education and conducting research into intra-professional education in different contexts. This multidisciplinary research group functioned as a form of triangulation, as it brought together disciplines whose profession or training calls on highly different assumptions or knowledge areas. An experienced psychologist and a medical student performed the observations and interviews. Both researchers were trained in qualitative methods and analysis. For the ethnographic research, these researchers were trained during the study by an anthropologist and an educational science researcher. Rapid ethnography. We used a non-participatory rapid ethnographic research approach. Particularly in healthcare and medical education research, ethnographic approaches have been considered appropriate to study professional groups, sociocultural aspects, and the organization of healthcare and medical education. Lingard et al. Describe how ethnographic research is well suited for capturing the complexity of daily practice of interprofessional education and collaboration. Compared to classic ethnographic research, which focuses on understanding a cultural phenomenon, a rapid ethnographic research approach prescribes that researchers enter the field with a more well-defined and focused research question and scope. Rapid ethnography-based methods provide a means of collecting data within a short, well-defined timeline by using triangulation of observations, in-depth interviews, and theory. In this study, we collected data by observations within daily practice and in-depth interviews to gain insight into what is already being done and to explore opportunities for and barriers to learning intra-professional collaboration between primary care residents and medical specialist residents within hospital placements. Study setting and inclusion. Using purposeful sampling techniques, we sampled emergency departments and geriatric departments of both academic and regional hospitals in the Netherlands. After inclusion, we announced a visit with posters and emailed an information letter explaining the purpose of our study, including an invitation for the interview to all residents and supervisors. For the interviews, we applied purposive sampling, including snowballing. We sampled younger and older residents and supervisors, and we talked about research with participants. This allowed us to gather broad and deep information on learning interprofessional collaboration during hospital placements. We excluded residents and supervisors who had worked in the hospital department for less than 1 month. Data collection. Data collection was first piloted by one researcher, and two researchers then performed observation and in-depth interviews. Prior to our visit, we agreed with the supervisor which moment would be observed. Work-related activities and settings with potential intra-professional education moments were observed. For example, educational sessions, team meetings, mutual consultations, and daily administrative work practices. Both researchers were familiar with the context of hospital placements. They immersed themselves in the flow of events, including informal conversations. We only performed observations at locations where no patients were involved. To improve internal reliability, two researchers carried out the first two observations and in-depth interview together and determined and discussed differences. During the observations, the researchers made handwritten field notes, which were transcribed the same day. Doing short observations, we produce short and direct reports instead of a thick traditional description. The field notes and reports were transformed into descriptive notes and were used to inform the interview questions. This means that a different set of questions have been asked to all participants. After the interviews, all data were anonymized. The interviews were semi-structured. The interview script was designed by 4 investigators. The interviews were performed after a couple of observations to ensure that the researchers had enough time to read the field notes and formulate additional questions. The interviews were all conducted in person, 39 in a private room at the hospital department and 3 by phone. All interviews were recorded, anonymized and transcribed verbatim.
2, 4, 5.
Data analysis. Transcripts of the interviews were analyzed using a template analysis method. We choose template analysis as in this way we could handle the large set more comfortably than some other methods of qualitative data. The use of a priori themes within template analysis helps focusing on themes that need to be incorporated into the analysis. A first template was developed by 2 researchers. The codes of this preliminary template were derived from the main questions from our interview guide, but also arose from inspection of the data. After each day of observations and interviews, the researchers discussed their findings. The first 3 interviews were coded by 2 researchers, leading to an initial coding template. After rereading our data and discussing our template, we decided to use this template as it would represent the data as fully as possible. It contained higher level codes, representing major themes, and low to lower codes, representing more specific topics. The next 39 interviews were analyzed with members of our multidisciplinary coding team, in various combinations. The leading author coded and analyzed all interviews to provide continuity. Finally, all 42 transcripts were double-coded by members of the research team. The vast quantity of data, comprising 45 hours of observation and 42 interviews, made analyzing data and finding patterns complex. We were able to properly analyze the large data set due to a clear distinction between 3 different groups: supervisors, primary care residents, and medical specialist residents, and due to the use of a template analysis method in a large research team. The research group discussed the data iteratively. All inconsistencies in applications of the codebook were discussed and resolved through consensus. Based on the discussions, we adjusted the template. After analyzing the interviews, the field notes of the observations were reread to check for discrepancies between field notes and interview data. The number of observations and interviews was determined by theoretical sufficiency. Data collection was finished when the research group concluded they had reached meaning saturation and conceptual depth to answer the research question. Ethics. The study was reviewed and approved by the Netherlands Association for Medical Education Ethical Review Board. Written informed consent of all participants was obtained before participation. Results. We conducted 45 hours of observations and 42 interviews at 3 emergency departments and 3 geriatric departments of 5 hospitals from February to May 2018. The 42 interviews were conducted with 14 primary care residents, 14 medical specialist residents, and 14 supervisors. A prevailing view amongst all residents and supervisors was that intraprofessional education is essential and needs explicit attention, including dedicated time. A medical specialty resident said, "To me, intraprofessional education is super important and it should receive more attention." All participants indicated that hospital wards are rich in opportunities to learn intraprofessional collaboration. To actually benefit from these opportunities, interventions are needed. After categorization of the results, we identified three main themes. 1. Incidental and purposeful learning. 2. Competing professional roles. And 3. Work environment. In relation to these three themes, residents and supervisors mentioned clear recommendations for the introduction and implementation of intra-professional education during hospital placements. Theme 1. Incidental and purposeful learning. Our data show that learning intra-professional collaboration on the hospital ward occurs by two routes. A. Incidental, implicit learning activities, and B. Purposeful, explicit learning activities.
Let me give you an example of purposeful and planned intra-professional education. A joint intra-professional team reflection followed directly after the weekly intra-professional grand round at the geriatrics department. This form of intra-professional education occurs every Wednesday from 9 to 10 in the morning. Note of the observer: the atmosphere is relaxed. There seems to be enough time and space for questions and education. Residents and students are invited to share knowledge and to ask critical questions. There is room for one's own opinion and disagreeing with each other. The atmosphere remains relaxed and respectful.
Learning implicitly and incidentally. The majority of intra-professional learning activities occurred implicitly during daily work activities. Through working, primary care residents learned about the daily hospital routine, substantive medical skills, how to best refer a patient to the hospital, and how to formulate an adequate referral question. The primary care residents usually learned these skills from the supervisors in the hospital department. Supervisors also operated as a role model in intra-professional collaboration. Medical specialist residents often copy their behavior. The medical specialist residents learned about possibilities and limitations in the primary care setting and referral patterns. Medical specialist residents learned this mostly from primary care residents. Residents mentioned that the learning of intra-professional collaboration mainly occurred incidentally without conscious reflection.
A primary care resident said, "Some attention is paid to intra-professional collaboration, but it's not really high on the agenda. You do notice that they know primary care residents are walking around and sometimes get questions, for example, is that possible in a nursing home? Or how do you see that as a GP? Or how would you feel if we discharged such a patient?" This kind of interaction happens spontaneously.
Learning explicitly and purposefully. We observed that intra-professional education is purposeful and planned in some departments, especially in departments with a collaborative culture, dedicated time for intra-professional education, and the intra-professional mindset of the supervisor. Role of supervisor in purposeful learning. The primary care residents indicated that some supervisors consciously stimulate interaction between primary care and medical specialist residents and encourage primary care residents to show their primary care expertise.
A primary care resident said, "I always try to share my primary care vision. It is a positive thing that they really appreciate that I have a vision as a general practitioner. And I also get to hear that supervisors really like it that I contribute my primary care opinion. That is, of course, stimulating."
Supervisors mentioned that they found it difficult to coach and assess the learning of intra-professional collaboration for residents from different backgrounds. Their expertise is based on specialist medical knowledge and skills, and they feel competent in teaching in this area. But offering intra-professional education poses specific demands beyond their primary expertise. In order to provide intra-professional education, supervisors feel a need to study new knowledge and skills regarding collaboration.
A supervisor said, "What I mentioned about just the use of theories about collaboration, we haven't done it before, but lately occasionally. Yes, as a doctor, you know very little about that. We just do it. Sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't work. Things like that are, I should delve into it.
Placement goals. Both primary care and medical specialist residents indicated that learning intra-professional collaboration is essential, but they are not always aware of opportunities to learn this. Residents are accustomed to operating and learning separated from each other, and indicate that intra-professional education is generally not in their mindset.
A medical specialty resident said, I can ask her, the primary care resident, how are things organized in your primary care setting? We do discuss such things, and she tells me a lot about that, but really learning to collaborate, no. We are each on our own island, and you occasionally ask something about how are things going on your island?
The medical specialist residents often teach primary care residents about their medical specialty and how the hospital is organized, but they hardly ever ask for primary expertise, with the result that primary care residents think that medical specialist residents do not want to learn from them. This means that learning is predominantly unidirectional.
A primary care resident said, of course, I learn a lot from the medical specialty resident, the knowledge and skills. Conversely, I have the idea that they learn less from us, and that they do not really want it either. Then it is a bit of a one-way learning.
Residents and supervisors reported that intra-professional collaboration receives at best limited attention in the training programs as a competency to be learned during hospital placements. Therefore, the learning predominantly depends on residents' individual mindset on learning intra-professional collaboration to formulate learning goals within this domain. Some supervisors would like primary care residents to be obliged to formulate a learning goal for intra-professional collaboration. But supervisors indicated that they never insisted that medical specialist residents should formulate such a learning goal.
The supervisor said, primary care residents have different training goals and portfolios than medical specialty residents, and they steer very much on their own learning objectives. So then you might have to make a standard learning goal for them. That you say that the collaboration between primary care residents and medical specialty residents is one of the learning goals for all primary care residents who come here.
The primary care residents expected attention would be given to intra-professional collaboration during release days, where primary care residents learn amongst their peers at the Primary Care Specialty Training Institute. But they indicated that intra-professional collaboration received only limited attention.
The question was, are learning intra-professional collaboration and sharing primary care expertise themes during release days? And then a primary care resident said, very few actually, and that surprised me. I thought that there would surely be attention for intra-professional collaboration, also for the collaboration with the elderly care physician, but intra-professional collaboration is actually not discussed at all.
Theme 2. Competing professional roles. The observations and interviews show that primary care residents often adjust to the role of medical specialist resident, providing specialist medical care during their hospital placement, as if they are in training for that medical specialty. The majority of primary care residents hardly ever share their primary care knowledge and skills, except when invited.
A medical specialist resident said, the primary care resident steps into our medical specialist role, and that is also what is implicitly expected. It is a fact that they act just as medical specialist residents. They have to drop their primary care role, so to say the least.
One supervisor said, during handovers, when we discuss the patient's discharge, we don't know if a GP can do anything with our suggestions. Then we should explicitly invite primary care residents to say how their view is. They don't do that on their own.
The primary care residents, who continue to adapt to the role of medical specialist resident and barely express their professional primary care identity, sometimes even were not aware of their primary care knowledge and skills.
A primary care resident said, and the medical specialty supervisor told me, "You have to ask hard questions to the other disciplines, like how far will we go in our decisions?" And then I thought, of course, that is actually something I normally do in primary care. Well, I won't say that I really forgot it, but I think that I was too much in a medical specialist role.
The primary care residents, who easily switch between the medical specialist role and their professional primary care identity, were more explicit and proactive in demonstrating their primary care expertise.
A primary care resident said, "I also give some kind of information back to the specialist which they can use. I see myself more as a general practitioner within the emergency room. I know something about emergency cases, but I also know a lot about general practice. With that, I can put them, medical specialists and medical specialty residents, in the right direction."
Theme 3. Work environment. A prevailing view amongst participants was that learning interprofessional collaboration between residents is only possible when a safe work-learning climate and significant practicalities are secured. Work-learning climate. We observed that the placement of residents within the room during team meetings can reflect equality or inequality. Within some departments, everybody was seated equally in the room. In other departments, primary care residents were not sitting around a table amongst other medical specialist residents, but sitting or standing in a second rank. The discussion took place at the table, and the second rank, the primary care residents, were acting as spectators. The placement of residents was affecting the chances for intraprofessional education.
We observed the following. The medical specialists are sitting at the head of the U-form table, and the medical specialty residents are sitting on the sides of the table. The primary care resident is sitting on the second row, together with the undergraduate students. The primary care resident is the only doctor who have to take place second rank between the students.
Another essential aspect to creating a safe work-learning climate is knowing each other, for example by having a drink together outside the ward. Residents and supervisors who know each other informally report that they get in touch with one another more easily, understand why people react the way they do, and are more likely to invest in each other. Participants mentioned that hierarchy, such as that between supervisor and resident, is useful as it clarifies roles and responsibilities within the hospital. Nevertheless, they indicated that too much power dynamics in the hospital ward can lead to a lack of respect and inequality, which has a hindering effect on building a relationship in order to get to know each other's expertise. Supervisors and residents mentioned that the way medical specialists speak about primary care doctors can be responsible for creating a safe or unsafe work-learning climate for interprofessional education.
A primary care resident said, "Sometimes medical specialists talk about primary care doctors in a negative way, like it's an inferior specialism. And sometimes I hear such comments during meetings between shifts. That is, of course, demotivating."
Participants mentioned that supervisors are in the position to steer power dynamics, and within some departments, supervisors showed an active policy against unconstructive power dynamics. Practicalities. Intraprofessional education can hardly take place when primary care and medical specialist residents are working in different shifts or having different offices. Supervisors and residents indicated that the opportunity to meet each other is necessary for intraprofessional education to take place. This is possible by sharing a physical space together.
A supervisor said, "We are in a setup in which we sit in a circle behind computers and where you easily pick up things from each other. And then an interesting intraprofessional discussion, a case-based discussion, arises spontaneously."
Residents and supervisors' perceived needs. In relation to the above themes, residents and supervisors mentioned clear recommendations to identify the different workplace activities for learning intra-professional collaboration, and to explicitly integrate workplace opportunities. A. The specific organization of work context by creating actual possibilities for learning intra-professional collaboration. B. Explicit and purposeful learning of intra-professional collaboration during workplace activities by both primary care residents and medical specialist residents. C. Supervisors taking responsibility for intra-professional education by facilitating a constructive work-learning climate and further professional development in intra-professional education. D. Intra-professional collaboration as a placement goal for both primary care residents and medical specialist residents. E. Empowerment of primary care residents to share their primary care expertise. F. Empowerment of medical specialist residents to ask for primary care expertise. And G. Offering placements for medical specialist residents in the primary care setting.
A supervisor said, intra-professional education must be integrated in the placement and work structure. When it is something optional or incidentally, then it will not work out.
A medical specialty resident said, for example, case-based discussions, where we discuss the kind of cases that we all recognize, and that we also hear the side of the story from the primary care residents, and also hear from them what they encounter when collaborating with us, and vice versa. I think that is very important.
A medical specialty resident said, for us as medical specialty residents, a placement in a nursing home would also be a very good idea. That is not at all in our training program. It can sometimes be quite difficult if you have no idea at all about how it works in a nursing home. I think it's a very good idea that we make that more transparent and learn from each other.
The primary care resident said, I think that we will only get a real collaborative relationship if medical specialty residents also come along when I'm in the primary care practice.
Discussion. All participants found intra-professional collaboration essential for good healthcare and consider hospital wards to be rich in opportunities for learning intra-professional collaboration. However, we also report that these opportunities are seldom exploited for various reasons. First, intra-professional collaboration learning goals are often not apparent, and both residents and supervisors lack awareness of the learning opportunities for intra-professional collaboration. When learning intra-professional collaboration occurs, it is predominantly implicit. Second, primary care residents often adapt to the role of medical specialist residents and hardly ever share the primary care expertise. The medical specialist residents often neglect to search for primary care expertise. Third, too much hierarchy led to inequity, which had a hindering effect on building relationships and formed a not safe enough work-learning climate in which residents did not feel free to speak up. Therefore, improvements in mindset, professional identity, and power dynamics are crucial to facilitate and promote intra-professional collaboration. Mindset. When learning of intra-professional collaboration occurs between primary care and medical specialist residents, this is mostly random through informal mechanisms. The learning occurs implicitly, spontaneously, and with little conscious reflection, which is in line with the description by Watkins and Marsick of informal and incidental learning. To our knowledge, our study is the first to investigate intra-professional education during hospital placements. Our findings are consistent with previous studies in other contexts, which also show that learning of collaborative competences lacks structured implementation and is generally not in the mindset of medical professionals. Residents are expected to learn during their postgraduate training, and therefore it could be expected that they are always on the lookout for learning opportunities. However, with regard to intra-professional collaboration, this happens only to a limited extent. Frequently, mindset is associated with the growth mindset theory from Dweck. However, in social psychology and organizational leadership, mindset is seen as a cognitive filter through which one looks at the world, a predefined reference frame used throughout the totality of an individual or organization's cognition. Johnson clearly recast a long-standing idea when she states that excellent medical education occurs in secondary care settings, and elaborates that primary care has an inferior status and is considered to be much less advanced. Consequently, medical specialist residents teach primary care residents, but they are not accustomed to asking for primary care expertise from primary care residents, maybe not realizing or appreciating their primary care expertise. The medical specialist residents rarely have placements in the primary care setting. These historical patterns can lead to a mindset for predominantly unidirectional learning at the workplace. Uhlig et al. Described that, in order to successfully realize interprofessional collaboration, many deeply rooted patterns, role cultures, and assumptions must be carefully adjusted. Our research underscored that medical specialist supervisors and primary care teachers have an important role in creating a mindset for learning intraprofessional collaboration. They can do this by formulating placement goals for both primary care and medical specialist residents, and by stimulating two-way learning and conscious reflection. The above indicates that intraprofessional education is the responsibility of all parties involved: primary care residents, medical specialist residents, supervisors, teachers, and program directors. Professional identity. In the Netherlands, the purpose of hospital placements for primary care residents is to gain expertise in emergency care and diseases that are not very prevalent in the primary care setting, and to learn intraprofessional collaboration with medical specialists. We found that primary care residents often adapt to the role of medical specialist residents. This is useful for learning medical skills and fitting into the hospital team. However, the majority of primary care residents hardly ever share their primary care expertise. This is counterproductive for learning intraprofessional collaboration. At first glance, the primary care residents appears to have little influence on the dynamics of an expert team within the hospital ward. However, our research show that also temporary team members can bring a fresh eye to common practices. We found that primary care residents who expressed their professional primary care identity and easily alternated between the medical specialist role and the primary care role created an intraprofessional collaboration discussion and bidirectional learning. Previous literature shows that pre-existing teams are more receptive to the influence of newcomers when the newcomers are more assertive. Proactive primary care and medical specialist residents would also rapidly take charge of their intraprofessional collaboration learning process once they are included in the learning cycle. This stresses the importance of empowering primary care residents to express their professional identity and to proactively share their primary care knowledge, and empowering medical specialist residents to proactively ask for primary care knowledge. Power dynamics. The participants mentioned that hierarchy is useful for clarifying roles and responsibilities within the hospital, but too much hierarchy can create inequity. Power is enhanced through the hierarchies in which residents interact. Hierarchy or power dynamics are barely investigated within intraprofessional education. Only Meyer et al. Mentioned hierarchy. In their study, hierarchy did not seem to influence intraprofessional education, which is contrary to our findings. This discrepancy may be attributed to the fact that their residents only interacted by telephone and letter. Power dynamics may be less prevalent during telephone and letter interactions. Studies on hierarchy and power dynamics within interprofessional education confirm our findings. Baker warned that attention should be paid to factors causing hierarchy, otherwise interprofessional education can increase competition and unequal power relationships between professionals, which has a reverse effect on collaboration. Edmondson demonstrated that in working teams, learning behaviors such as sharing perspectives, asking questions and seeking feedback is highly dependent on team psychological safety, a shared belief that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. Power dynamics can have a corrosive effect on psychological safety and therefore on learning intra-professional collaboration between residents. Meanwhile, informal relations are related to psychological safety. We found strong evidence that learning intra-professional collaboration between residents is influenced by the degree of equity and informal relations in the hospital department. This has been identified in earlier studies as well. Janssen et al. Showed that interaction between residents and supervisors, in which they take each other seriously, is a crucial factor in intra-professional education. Meyer et al. Concluded that knowing each other makes intra-professional collaboration between general practitioner residents and medical specialist residents much easier. Our study shows that equity and informal relations are promoted by practical issues such as sharing physical space, sitting equally in a room around a table, dedicated time together, having a drink together outside the workplace, and speaking respectfully about each other. Strengths and limitations. A strength of this study is the use of four types of triangulation: method, data source, investigator, and research group triangulation. An interprofessional research group brought together disciplines with highly diverse assumptions and different knowledge bases, and triangulation allowed researchers to examine different data sources to confirm and contrast findings. The psychologist, for example, had a keen eye for the possible effects of adjusting hierarchy, and the general practitioner focused on elaborating the importance of sharing primary care expertise. Strengths and limitations. A strength of this study is the use of four types of triangulation: method, data source, investigator, and research group triangulation. An interprofessional research group brought together disciplines with highly diverse assumptions and different knowledge bases, and triangulation allowed researchers to examine different data sources to confirm and contrast findings. The psychologist, for example, had a keen eye for the possible effects of adjusting hierarchy, and the general practitioner focused on elaborating the importance of sharing primary care expertise. We consider the variability in the nature of the observations as a strength. The short observations consisted of 5 meetings lasting less than 15 minutes. These were meetings to start the day in an interprofessional way. Although short, these meetings provided us with very rich observations with respect to intraprofessional education. Because our observers were familiar with the context of hospital placements, they could easily recognize relevant activities. Another strength is the cooperative attitude of residents and supervisors in participating in this study. We had to cancel some hospitals which had applied to participate after conceptual depth was reached. Because of this cooperative attitude, we could get a rich conception of the potential of hospital placements for learning intraprofessional collaboration. We acknowledge several limitations. Our presence during observations may have had an impact on the participant reactivity, which is defined by Paradis and Sutkin as a form of participant effect that comes from participants' active engagement with the research and its aims, leading to behavioral adaptation that aligns with perceived social norms. We think we minimize participants' reactivity by being embedded in the environment and checking our observations during the in-depth interviews with the participants. Observers were dressed in a hospital uniform, and we undertook at least 4 observations in every hospital department. We noted that people did interact with us, as if we were new colleagues, and continued their action seemingly uninterrupted, especially when we revisited departments. Another limitation is that we only performed observations in locations where no patients were involved. Therefore, a part of informal learning intra-professional collaboration remained outside the scope of our study. By practicing reflexivity in an interprofessional research group, we think this limitation was reduced as much as possible. Implications for practice and future research. When organizing the learning of intra-professional collaboration through placements for residents from different medical backgrounds, we think the following should be kept in mind. First, informal learning can be planned or unplanned, but it involves at least some conscious reflection. It is necessary to implement intra-professional education within workplace-based learning to make the learning of intra-professional collaboration purposeful. Second, hierarchy must be taken into account, for example by sharing a room and sitting equally around a table, asking for different perspectives, and letting primary care and medical specialist residents speak first during discussions, and then letting supervisors add their information. Third, supervisors need extra training to be aware of and create learning opportunities and to create a mindset for learning intra-professional collaboration. Finally, residents need some level of professional identity to be able to show their expertise and for supervisors to steer intra-professional education. A professional role identity is developed from a combination of personal factors, the work environment, and role modeling. However, primary care role models are absent during hospital placements. Therefore, peer-to-peer meetings during placements could be a valuable alternative. We recommend release days, where primary care residents learn by having a dialogue with their peers about intra-professional collaboration. Future research is needed to investigate how the development of professional identity can be supported and how power dynamics can be managed in a constructive way. Conclusions. All residents and supervisors indicated that learning intra-professional collaboration is essential and requires more explicit attention. Intra-professional collaboration is not learned spontaneously during hospital placements. Even in a promising setting, where primary care residents and medical specialist residents work together in the same department, intra-professional collaboration receives at best limited attention as a competency to be learned. The medical specialist residents are not accustomed to asking for primary care expertise, and primary care residents often adapt to the role of medical specialist residents, and they hardly ever contribute their primary care knowledge. Hierarchy and a lack of psychological safety in the hospital department negatively influence the learning of intra-professional collaboration. We conclude that, in order to benefit from the opportunities to learn intra-professional collaboration during hospital placements, attention is needed to mindset, professional identity, and power dynamics. Learning intra-professional collaboration is promoted where there is a collaborative culture with not too much hierarchy, dedicated time and call setting for intra-professional collaboration, and support from the medical specialist supervisor on the ward and the primary care teacher during release days.